Saludos, nuestra gente, and welcome to The Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast sin vergüenzas. I am your host, Maria Isa, along with my co-host,
Jessica Lopez Lyman.
And we are two proud Minnesotanas, a Boricua and a Chicana, proud of where we come from and where we are now. We're here to create a dialogue focused on Latinx opinions regarding current events, health, politics, race, edutainment, and a music playlist asazonado with Latinx contemporary, alternative, soul, hip-hop, reggae, reggaeton, cumbia, R&B, salsa, afro-latino, y mucho más.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
What's good? ¿Qué lo que hay, mi gente?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Latina Theory.
Yes, yes. Jessica, we have some awesomeness on this episode. Obviously, we're going to be talking about what's happening politically in our world, highlighting the elections and the outcome, and how we're going to drag what's in there out of the Casablanca. But beforehand, we also want to make sure that we have a special guest here on Latina Theory today. Jessica, tell us a little bit about the special guest. I know, but for our listeners.
Yes, yeah, we have to bring a little dulce before we get into the dirtiness of the politics. Mm-hmm. So our special guest today is Nikki Lopez. She's a creator, co-executive producer of Nickelodeon's new animated preschool series, Santiago of the Seas. Infused with the Spanish language and Latino-Caribbean cultural curriculum, the action-adventure series follows 8-year-old Santiago Montes, a brave and kind-hearted pirate, as he embarks on daring rescues, searches for treasures, and keeps the high seas safe from villains like the nefarious pirate Bonnie Bones in a fantastical Caribbean world.
Piratas ahoy!
This new show premiered in October. It has crazy high ratings. We're really excited. You know, Maria and I talk a lot on the podcast how we're mamas, new mamas. Her kid's a little older than a year. My daughter's 6 months. So we are stepping foot into the world that is animated cartoons. And we're really excited to have you on. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be speaking with both of you.
It's, you know, this creation, we're going to know, get to know a little bit more about the work. But we want to highlight that Latinx viewers have grown, right, Jessica? Mm-hmm. Triple digits, and accounted for well over a third of overall K-2 through 5 viewership. Finally, more than 40% of the premiere's audience were brand new preschool viewers to Nickelodeon. Inspiration for the series, which features Spanish language instructions and highlight the Caribeño culturas of Borinquen, Puerto Rico, Cuba, Dominican mm-hmm. Republic, y mucho más. I want to know, you know, a little bit about yourself. Like, what sure. led you into the work that you're doing now? And what's a little bit about your background, you know?
Sure.
Danos saben.
So I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. I only went to the state, I went to college art school in Florida right after high school. But then after that, I came back to Puerto Rico to work in advertising. My dad is from Cuba. My mom is Boricua, de pura cepa. I live and breathe the culture. I'm right now in Puerto Rico with my family, and I just feel so at ease with the community, and also just looking at the lush landscapes that we have, the green of the mountains of the rainforest of Junque, or the Caribbean Sea, like all of that is just a constant source of inspiration for me. Like, I can't help but kind of get into that storyteller vibe whenever I'm at home. So yeah, after I graduated, And I came back to Puerto Rico. I did advertising for a little bit, but there was something like that was missing. I needed to tell stories. I've always been enamored by animation as a medium for storytelling. And after saving a little bit of money, I took a leap of faith and I flew to Burbank, California. They had this convention where they had a bunch of animation studios meeting people who wanted to get into the industry, reviewing portfolios. So I did that. I just networked with a bunch of recruiters, and it was the Nickelodeon recruiter that I was like, oh my God, you guys feel like family. And I asked her, like, how can I be part of the Nickelodeon family? And she spoke very highly about the Nickelodeon internship, that they have a pretty high success rate of transferring their interns to full-time positions at the studio. So I set that as my North Star, and I tried once, I failed, I tried again, and on the second time I got accepted. And I started as an intern in the summer of 2010, and I've been there ever since. I worked my way up from intern to production assistant,
right on,
to color designer. And while I was doing all that, that's when I was like, maybe I should pitch some ideas for a show. And I did that for a little bit. I kind of wanted to do my initial desire to do that was more to kind of build up on my confidence, because I've generally been like a very introverted person most of my life. And I knew I wanted to, at most, I thought like, maybe one day I'll be an art director. But in order to do that, like, I should work on my confidence and talk to people and all that kind of stuff. So it was pretty cool and surprising to find myself where I am now as a showrunner, leading my show.
Yeah, that's so huge. You know, we just last episode we interviewed Paula Mendoza and Abby Scher. They're two authors that wrote this YA book, Sanctuary. And so we were talking to them about the challenges for Latinx folks in the publishing world. And we know the same thing happens in TV. You know, there was a great report that came out about five years back, but talked about the Latino media gap, where we have this high concentration of Latinx population, right? A growing population. And yet when we look at representation on TV, we are not there. From showrunners to actors, actresses, et cetera. So just curious in terms of, you know, you spoke about moving up, starting with the internship, but what were their significant mentors or people in your life and how they shaped the work that you were doing? And then also what recommendations or what do you think needs to change so that we have structural shifts for Latinx folks as content creators like yourself?
Absolutely. So starting off with mentors, I was very blessed to have this incredible mentor as I stepped into, you know, my first role as an intern. She is a woman of color herself. And as she was looking at resumes, she saw, oh, this person's from Puerto Rico. She looked around. This is how she told me. She was like, we need to diversify our production a little bit because it's pretty much more of the same. So she was very, very much interested in bringing me onto that production so I could add a fresh perspective to the work that was being done. And along the way, you know, I've definitely have had, you know, the immense honor to work with other people that have allotted time to hear what my career goals are. And they've definitely given me like the proper resources to research on next steps for my job. For example, I wanted to be a designer. So I had an incredible art director that kind of help my skills a little bit. Like, he was like, okay, well, you need to reference this and that and all that kind of stuff. But that one production manager that I had, who later on became a line producer for another show, she took me on to the other show. So she's kind of been like my guardian angel through all of it. And it's because as a woman of color herself, she wanted to make sure that to pass on the baton, like we need more representation. It shouldn't just end on screen, behind the screen, the people doing the work, you need to have that in there. And I guess that would lead to answering the other question. Like, we just need to make sure that we need to be aware that this table has plenty of space to make sure that we're inclusive to diverse voices. Hmm. Need to make that space. We need to help each other.
Definitely, definitely. Tell us a little bit about the show itself, about Santiago and the Sea. I love it. I love it. I have a 19-month-old baby and Loisa, and we've been, you know, watching it. Ella ya la música, you know, she's really engaged in music. She carries her name very well. So tell us a little bit about what influenced that, like Santiago, yeah. The sea, from the music on the show to the characters.
Of course. So Santiago was really born out of the major bout of homesickness that I was having at the time. It was like, October 2016. And I was like, I miss home so much. And I was talking to an executive on the development side at the studio. She had heard other concepts that I had pitched. And we were just having a really casual conversation. And she said, well, why don't you lean into an idea of something that was very special to you in your childhood? I feel like you have a very interesting perspective to offer because, you know, there's not a lot of people that come from Puerto Rico at the studio. So I told her a little bit of my childhood, how, you know, I was obsessed growing up with the Goonies. That was always like my go-to movie. Therefore, that kind of hooked me onto the whole, you know, lore of pirates and adventure and what kind of magic exists in underwater caverns or the forest and all that kind of stuff. And then I told her, too, about how there was this one figure in Puerto Rican history who almost considered like a patriotic figure. He was a pirate here that is almost considered like a Robin Hood of the high seas because he would look after his community. So when I told her, oh yeah, like a Robin Hood of the high seas, she was like, lean into that. And so I did. I finished all my work and I took like a month-long sabbatical when I went back home to Puerto Rico, and then I went to New Orleans, and it was just all to get myself in that mindset, to be on that creative journey where there was also like a little bit of adventure involved, so I could create this story of this brave young little boy who looked after his community, who was a pirate kind of chosen by the island, and his one weapon of choice was empathy and kindness. And I felt like at that time, I mean, it should always be very important, but specifically at that time, this was around November 2016, I just felt like I wanted to create something that was proof to little kids that being kind is not a weakness, it's a strength. So that's how Santi came to be.
I love that. You know, it's amazing when we look at, I think, the cultural productions around the 2016 election and what came out of that. The theme of kindness, of dignity is so important. And I think it's great to see the artists that have been really carrying that torch. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the other characters? I was really fascinated by the mermaid. Also, to hark back on representation, right? We just think so much about what we see visually really matters as well. You know, both Maria and I, our daughters are also Black. And so thinking about as a young child, how you visually see the world shapes so much of your understanding of self. And I just really loved how when we see the cartoon, right, it's not just the story, but it's also what our little girls get to see matters. So can you talk a little bit about those choices and what the process behind the scenes is like for that?
Yeah, I mean, from the get-go, I wanted to create a show that was visually inclusive to the heritages that influence Latino Caribbean culture. African, Taino, Spanish, Asian, you name it, it's all in there. So with Lorelei, from the get-go, I wanted to have an Afro-Caribbean mermaid because I just hadn't seen that before on television. And that's sort of how it came to be. Regarding Tomás, Santiago's cousin, growing up, my best friends were always my cousins, so that kind of was, it's nothing more deeper than that. It's like, well, you know, when you're little, well, your best friend was el primo, so. So yeah, there's certain bits and pieces there that were definitely tied to my own life, and also that desire of seeing a representation that I just wasn't seeing out there. If you don't see it out there, then I guess I'll make it myself. I'll make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I love about the show too is it's like, it's not contrived or these flat characters, right? There's so much depth to them, which I think when we're talking about representation, it can oftentimes just be considered quota status, right? Oh, I got my number. But what you bring to the show is like this depth of the characters and all their complexity that is really beautiful to see. So,
yeah. I'm interested in the music. You've worked with several different artists. I'm a musician, and I mean, I grew up on bomba and plena, and so to see the influences of the música afrocaribeño involved is really awesome. Evie Lees, La Bombera de Corazón, worked on a song, and I remember her talking to a few of us in the Bomba community. Tell us a little bit about the collaboration, because we love Evie here on Latina Theory. She's definitely been a guest, and we're super proud of the work, and we were brought up in the same Bomba community in the Midwest. So tell us a little bit about the Bomba that watchers will be listening to on the season this year.
Of course. I mean, that was one of the big things, right? If we're going to make a show that represents Latino Caribbean culture, let's make sure we're, especially with such a heavy influence of Puerto Rican culture, let's make sure it's as specific and authentic as possible. And one of the big things that I wanted to push forward was bomba. To do that, I started like going online and researching like, where will I find a bomba consultant? So I remember I was visiting in New York at the time because all the writers were there. Mm-hmm. And I found out that Ivalice had a bomba class. Mm-hmm. So I convinced a couple of production and the writers, like, can we please go to this? I feel like it could be so educational and fun. And maybe that'll help us to create an episode that really respectfully and authentically, you know, showcases bomba.
Yes.
And enter Ivalice. It was so funny because she brought forward like one of the people in production, and they were struggling a little bit with the dancing. but we made it work. It was so much fun. She calls it like a blind audition. She said, I feel like it was like a blind audition that y'all did. but yeah, I'm so glad that worked out, and that hopefully if the planets align and we get a pickup for a second season, I would love to continue that collaboration with her.
Definitely well represented and amongst Boricuas in the diaspora. And it's just really cool. I'm excited to check that episode out. I'm excited to push, you know, forward all of the energia to get you guys to do a second season. It's so important, especially in these times that we're home and kids are home, yeah, and doing this virtual learning, that they have content that is suitable, is bilingual and educational and representative, like Jessica had mentioned earlier. What's next with this project, speaking of, we're in a pandemic. Tú estás en Puerto Rico. We're here in the Midwest. So talk to us about what are your goals and what's next with Santiago the Seas and maybe some other upcoming work.
Yeah, sure. And also how we can support getting a second season.
Just continue watching.
Stream.
Ratings. That's what the network loves. More eyes on the show always helps. Yeah, so the show airs, new episodes are supposed to air every Friday at 12:30 on Nickelodeon, and they repeat the same episode on Nick Jr. at 10 a.m. Currently, what am I doing? We've got some special episodes in the works.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say that, but we've got something fun brewing. Hopefully, you know, to build a bridge as we wait for full second season pickup. And other than Santiago, I also have something else in development, but it's for an older audience. And it's tied more to the supernatural and, you know, otherworldly matters. A lot of it is inspired by not only my friendship with my best friend, but also my mom's hometown in San Germán, which has like these underground tunnels.
Definitely.
And, you know, again, I grew up listening to stories from my aunties and grandmas of, ay, el espíritu que está allí en la esquina. So it's almost like an ode to that part of my life of hearing these stories of ghosts and haunted houses and magical objects. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
We're looking for, please keep us posted on all of that, because I'm definitely interested. And saludos a tu pueblo, a San Germán, and a todos los boricua and that are showing love in our Latinx community. We have Nikki Lopez here on the Latina Theory. We're going to break into a song and then jump right back in. Thank you, Nikki, for being a part of our episode today. And you're welcome here all the time. So we look forward to your upcoming projects. Yeah. Speaking about songs, we have something in our playlist, but what do you listen to?
What do I listen to? I've been listening lately a lot to Chayanne.
Hey, everybody loves Chayanne. You got to give love to the 90s pop throbs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's been a lot of that 90s Latino pop, a lot of Miguel Bosé, a lot of Chayanne, old school Ricky, Robbie Draco.
Epa, Draco. Yes.
All right, there you go. Before we let you go, though, Nikki, let us make sure our listeners know where they can find you at.
Sure. So through Twitter, my username is Nikki, N-I-K-I underscore Lopez, L-O-P-E-Z. And then my Instagram handle is brew.ha.ha.ha. So it's brewhahaha. Hopefully y'all find me.
We'll make sure to post it on our web pages and social media. Nikki, de verdad, muchísimas gracias. Thank you for being a part. And thank you for your work. Sharing your inspiration, and we look forward to catching up more with Santiago the Seas. Any merchandise available so we can rock it with the shorties?
Second season?
Epa.
Generally, like,
all right, well, we need it because I want like a shirt. I need to get the mermaid
poster.
Yes. You know,
birthday party.
Halloween next year.
So you heard it here, listeners. Make sure you tune in to Santiago of the Seas on Nickelodeon. Nick Jr. Abrazos, chaucitos, y bendiciones, muchache, to the brujaja and love. Nikki Lopez, you heard it there. Santiago of the Seas creator, Nickelodeon. Thanks.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
sabor que es Caribe y son, seguimos gozando. Tu ritmo se ve, mi amor, cuando cae tu sudor. Y tus movimientos parecen más que un canto sagrado. Y es que tu cintura de silueta y luna que me va atrapando, me va alucinando. Y es que está en tu cuerpo, nena, que respira vida, nena. Y es que tienes todo en esta vida pa' gozar.
Baila que ritmo te sobra, baila que baila, nena. Acércate un poquito, salome. Baila que ritmo te sobra, baila que baila, nena. Regálame tu hechizo de mujer. Ay, ay, ay,
tú bajaste desde el cielo.
Ay, ay, ay,
y me echaste al candelero.
Ay, ay, ay,
tú bajaste desde el cielo.
Ay, ay, ay,
mira, niña, si te quiero. ¡Eso! Ay, 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 Salomé. Ay, 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 Salomé.
Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Well, that was cool. She's a sweetheart, Nikki Lopez, for those of you who are still on into the Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast. We got to chat up with her about her awesome new show. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, I love that. It was so great. You know, I feel like any time the past week or so that I can find these moments of joy, really relishing them, and she was part of that joy for me today, for sure.
Definitely. So. I'm like, I wish I was seated where you're at, though. You're in Puerto Rico, man, and it's got cold. It's starting to get icy and snowy out here in the Midwest. But
yeah, we just got...
We had a good election day. It was like 70 degrees in November on election day. But now it's like, okay, y'all got a new president. We'll give you that. So I guess we got to bear. Speaking of that, we have a new president elect.
I know, allegedly.
4 years.
Like, allegedly.
4 years of the FTP.
Right. I know. I feel like we need to FTP him out one last time, but we can hold off. I'm sure he'll do some pendejo stuff a little bit.
I mean, pretty much.
Before he leaves.
We just kind of stopped doing FTP on our show because it was like the pendejería was just it was just him and anyone who messes with him and in his circle.
Right.
But how about Lil Wayne? Like, at last minute popped up. Like, I support
Lil
him.
Lil Pimp? Like, really? Do you know that they're making a mockery of you right now? Like, hello. The people in the crowd were like, we don't want to hear him. It was so ridiculous.
It's been bad.
How about the fact that Kanye West almost got 8,000 votes in Minnesota?
I know.
I'm like, who are these 8,000 people?
I know some of them. I know some of them. Like, I wasn't one of them, but, you know, hey, at least they exercised their right to vote. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You know, that was beautiful. The day before, November 2nd, my partner and I, we tried to go vote early, which really wasn't that early. It was the day before. But we went to the library by our house, and we couldn't even find a parking spot. The line was around the library, through the parking lot. And with the baby, you know, we just couldn't. So we left, and we went actually on election day.
So did I. Your story sounds very similar. And I'm the one telling everybody to vote here. And
I see you on commercials and stuff, like, vote early. And here we're doing it the day of.
I had the coffee cart that same day. We started a coffee cart. Shout out to Gallita's coffee cart, the whole crew. And we kicked it off on election day. And I, right in between, I was like, hey, I'm going to go vote. And they're like, the woman who's telling everybody to vote hasn't voted. I'm like, well, I'm going to vote. I tried. You know, I just, the ballot thing got a little too late for that to happen in the mail-in. And then we went the same story. You know, I almost went from the West Side to Roseville's library because of the pre-voting. But then I'm like, it's going to be the same. And yeah, it took me 2 minutes.
But then
the next day at Humboldt on the West Side. So... it was, Minnesota showed up. We got a blue state still. It was really blue.
Yeah, I mean, we got a blue city, Duluth, and a couple of counties below. But, you know, I want to celebrate. I want to be excited. I have, of course, mixed feelings about all of it, right?
Definitely.
We can have our contradictions. Like, I'm excited, speaking back on this representation, which I keep bringing up, right, with Nikki. Talking with her about her cartoon, It matters, right? To see those images on Instagram where you have little black and brown girls looking at Kamala Harris, vice president-elect, brought warm feelings to me, right? And at the same time, I'm like, you're a prosecutor, and let's look at the record. They exist together, I guess. But honestly, until January 21st, when Biden is actually in office, I'm not fully... relaxing yet, because I feel like anything can happen.
So much. And this guy, I mean, I don't even need to say his name anymore. I like just yawn just thinking about him because I'm so tired of him. Pero, like, it is what it is. There is momentum, but it's also like, hey guys, this doesn't stop here. It's called the organizing continues, and you have to have even more of a force because there's shift of administration, but there's still, you know, commonality and comfort within these two different administrations. And it's kind of like flip-flopping because Joe is, you know, the Obama administration, right? Now he's got his own and the Kamala. And, you know, there is great symbolisms of like, yes, there is a black, you know, woman. There's a that is a vice president. There's a woman as a vice president. Like, that was celebrated. I was holding Loisa, like, watching the, you know, their first speech as the elect, being like, yo, this is classic. But you want to know what was even classicer? Dave Chappelle on SNL.
Yes, that was so good.
Right,
please YouTube it. I mean, we're not promoting him outright, you know, don't come for us. But just watch it. It was so good.
Honestly, it was most of like, hey, y'all, This is great. Like, we need to acknowledge, though, what's happening, right? And who better else to do it? And it is what it is. It's just on a point of, like, even Jim Carrey, he killed it as Biden. And Maya, Rudolph is Kamala. Like, they have their role for the next 4 years set in place.
Right, the whole, like, loser had me cracking up, bringing old school Jim Carrey. You know, before we get off, though, I do want to give a few shout-outs of positive things. The whole squad got reelected.
Boom.
AOC, Ilhan. You know, so that's super dope,
Rashida,
to know that progressive politics are still staying. I also want to highlight, you know, the amazing organizing of Native folks. We talk about Arizona, of course, Latinx folks came out. But I think what's not mentioned is those exit polls of something else, right? Our Native folks, Indigenous folks,
Black
Genetics
women.
Folks.
Shout out to Black women.
Oh, most definitely.
Because this election, it wouldn't be the outcome if it wasn't for Black women. And
happening in Georgia right now, we're going to have to stay tuned for the senator runoff. That's going to be huge, but definitely folks like Stacey Abrams putting it down and the whole squad of folks there that are really methodical when it comes to organizing. And the last person I want to shout out is, of course, co-founder of Latina Theory, Ariana Jimenez,
hey,
who's been working with Mi Gente.
Yes, North Carolina.
What's that?
North Carolina. Like, our girl was knocking on doors and leading the way. You can read about her in the Lily. You know, you can read about her in the Atlantic. Like, there's a lot of good things happening. We're so proud of Adi. And she's actually going to be on our show coming up pretty soon here. Not this episode, but Adi's coming to visit. And we're going to do a pandemic Zoom chit chat in Central Time Zone. But I'm so proud of her. Like, that's a real mission of, hey, I'm setting a goal, I'm going for it, and let's move it, right? And that's what is inspiring, like you said, the positive notes of this election is folks set goals. And I want to give a shout out to those that tried, that, you know, maybe haven't gotten elected, but the folks of color that seen their name on the ballot and are taking, you know, like, we may not have won, but we're not stopping and we're still organizing and there's new chapters that are written. And I want to applaud all of the local elections too, and folks that are got in their seat again. Patricia Torres Rey, La Senadora, you know, Senator Melissa Lopez Franson, Carlos Mariani, that are really fighting, Aisha Gomez, you know, they're really fighting their spaces for us to be inclusive and have more of us in there. And I think that's important to highlight because we didn't get the Senate majority as far as how we wanted it as women of color and right. Indigenous women. But we definitely have our gente that are still holding ground to fight for us in there. And we just got to keep focusing local to national. Your voice can be heard. And that's a big message that Ariana Hennis blasts out there. So we're excited to hear from her soon.
Cool. Well, it was so good to see you. We were recording via Zoom today, so we got to see each other, got to see Nikki in that beautiful Puerto Rican sunshine that was coming through her windows. If you're here in the snow, stay warm. My little bit of advice for curandera remedies is simple. Wash your face.
Washing faces
and moisturizing them. That little bit of self-care, don't take it for granted.
Caldos
always, yeah, for sure. We'll definitely be posting some caldo recipes and whatnot throughout the winter. Yes. Keep you nice and warm.
Jessica has
but
the
check
best.
Us out. We have a bunch of amazing interviews coming up. We're going to be interviewing a doctor from New York, talking specifically about COVID-19 and Latinx folks. We're going to talk more about artists and cultural appropriation, like we've been promising you. A whole slew of folks. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We love y'all, mi gente. We hope you enjoyed today's show, our little chit chat. And there's my dog telling me I gotta go. So on that note, it's love, amor, and stay safe, stay healthy, and stay loved. Be loved. Give love.
Yes.
Pa'lante. We'll be right back.
arranca.